taken off for this moment. Oh, saw their feet. I'll sing one more to the apostle Thomas. Where he came to find the tomb of Jesus, the stone was moved. The Lord had gone away. Thank you, Lord.
And share them really what the church should be and God's plan for it. And for our time, I had the privilege to speak in a wee hall in Lisburn yesterday morning, and John Wesley preached in that hall. And you know, I was thinking about the deeds of the Nicolaitans, where they conquered the Lairdy and they had one man over it and they controlled it like a pope, bishops and so forth, and we know that God was against that. But I was thinking, you know, a lot of people talk about Lutheran's dead, Wesleyan's dead, but the original's not. You know, when you really study it, what John Wesley had was alive. What he preached was alive. What Luther had was alive. But what happened? People organized it. And they changed it. They're no longer really preaching what he preached. Because a revelation can't become dead if it's a true revelation. It remains the Word of God. But it become organized and become dead. So it no longer was what it first came forth. So then it was hybrid. And because it's hybrid, it can't reproduce itself. But would Luther preach justification still the truth tonight?
Amen.
Would or Wesley preach justification? Luther preached sanctification, and it's still the truth tonight. And we go right on, right down to this end time, till what the truth we have. Also, I want us to pray this evening. Brother Matthew's given me this prayer request, a request for prayer at this time, as to whatever's causing the bleeding. He's been passing a bit of blood of Brother Matthew here. And he wants prayer, and also that the Lord would strengthen him in his faith at this time. Also wants to pray for a man called Robert. He's been healed many times, this man, Robert, on one of the broadcasts. It must be over a year ago. You know, it's hard to remember all the things, but he was really bad with COVID. You remember the man, and the Lord touched him, and he came home and was well. But he's got COVID again, and he's really bad this time. That must be at least a year ago. His wife was telling me as well that God healed him years ago from something he shouldn't have lived, but God healed him and he lived. And the enemy's hard after him, isn't it? But God can heal him again.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to pray for Robert as well, and also for my own wee Jamesy. He's a lot better, but he's been taking a few nosebleeds and he's not coughing as bad, and I want to pray. Maybe Brother Ian will pray for Matthew, for Robert, and for we James tonight. Let's come and bow our heads before the Lord.
Lord, we are thankful tonight we can come to the God that is King and is Master and is over everything. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, we don't come tonight, Lord, in our own name, because it would be useless. Lord, you have given us a name that's high above every name, and it is the only name whereby men can be saved and healed. Lord, we are thankful for the name of Jesus tonight. Went to the cross of Calvary. You were lifted up. Men saw you on that cross. Now you were for the sin of the world. Lord, we give you thanks tonight. You dealt with it. And Lord, I'm thankful that you went to the whipping post. Lord, your word is yea and amen. It will not return unto you void. And you said to ask. And Lord, you said seek and you shall find. Lord, you said to call upon you in the day of trouble. You said you would deliver.
Yes.
Lord, we're coming to the deliverer tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight, Lord, that sometimes you're overwhelmed but not overcome. We're thankful tonight that we are overcomers in Christ. We thank you for the blood. We say to Satan tonight, get back from off these children, get back from off this young man, and get back off this man that we spoke about tonight. I plead the merits of the blood upon them afresh tonight.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, I tell the enemy to leave them. Stay away from them from this time forth in the name of Jesus. Lord, I take authority over that bleed in our brother Matthew that's here tonight. I take authority over it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know that from this time forth there's going to be a change.
Amen.
I also know there's going to be a good report. And I know that will cease from this time in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you, Lord, of little James. I thank you, Lord, that we are here for such a time as this. Lord, you didn't bring us on the scene, Lord, for us to lie down and to quit. Lord, you've had us here for a time of this, that you could dwell in us, Lord, and use us to proclaim your precious word. Your word is yea and amen. Lord, we are not a defeated people tonight because we have the King and you are the King. You've given us power and authority over the devils. You've given us power and authority over the enemy tonight. Lord, even in your word you said, rejoice not about that, but our names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we're thankful tonight for that. Lord, we know that after this time that we have prayed and we have asked, and because your word says that you're not deaf, Lord, we know that the one that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. We can say that our God is not dead tonight, and we will prove it by the healings of these three people that have been asked for tonight. Lord, we leave it with you. You said to prove me now, said the Lord. We're using your word tonight, Lord, because that's the only thing that there's life in. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, knowing that we're going to hear a good report. Now, Lord, we give you honor and all the praise. And we know that everything that's going to be done here tonight will be done to lift up your name. We already know that you're here tonight because your word said so. Where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst of them. Oh, isn't it wonderful when Jesus is in the midst? Lord, we're thankful that you're in the midst tonight. I pray you'll just pick the hot coal from off the altar tonight and touch our brother Tom tonight. Crown his head and the soles of his feet. And I've said, sometimes he may be overwhelmed, but not overcome. Lord, we are overcomers with Christ. Jesus. Now, Lord, we're thankful tonight. We've put our petitions forward. We've made them known.
Amen.
And Lord, we know that you will do exactly what you said you could do. Lord, by your stripes we're healed. We're thankful for it. And Lord, also for those at home that we set aside, we haven't heard of tonight. Lord, we go to that situation tonight. Apply the precious blood upon the lintels of the hearts of each and every brother and sister. And let the Holy Ghost do them good, we say. And we give you all the honor and all the praise, knowing that we have a promise. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Let us turn to John 1, verse 1. John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that God will bless His own Word. You may be seated, praise God. I just want to share some of these things that I've marked down, just a recap of the church, that we can see it in the light of where it's at. And I don't mean the church here, I mean universally. Amen. And you know, if I say, you know, we need to come out of dead systems and all, I'm not talking about, there's places which has nothing to do with us that are genuine. I want everybody to know that tonight. We're not here to condemn genuine places of worship. And we're not here to condemn anything, really. Or at least we shouldn't be. There's anywhere the truth is preached, that's God's people. Amen. But we know there's apostate. And there's an ecumenical movement which is going on, which is absolutely false. There's two churches. There's a real church and a false church. And the real church preaches and believes the Word of God. Now, the original church was founded and manifested in her was the Word of God, in the original church. The Word of God was manifested in the original church. And that Word of God cannot be changed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that if we were to change one word, as Eve did, she changed the word. When the serpent said, hath God said, and you know the word was changed. And because the word was changed, it brought forth death. And Revelation 22 warns us, Revelation 22:18, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Now that's quite something, isn't it? And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. So God is warning people not to take from it. And you know the ecumenical movement's going, and there's someone else that's going. They're trying to produce a Bible that will suit everybody. That's what's happening. And we know that the King James, we believe, is just about the most accurate Bible. I'm sure everybody knows that. We've talked about it before. There's other Bibles maybe you could read. It's good and all that. But the King James has to be your main Bible. It's the Word of God. But there's an ecumenical movement, and there's a Bible that, there's lots of Bibles that has been produced. And you know, remember, there was a couple of Bibles given to a few of us, and Brother Gary, I can't remember, he rang me or texted me, and he asked me to look for a certain verse, but it wasn't in it. It wasn't in that Bible. And then there was other verses, and they weren't even in the Bible. So that's fulfilling revelations here, taken away from the Word of God. And adding to it, we're not to do that, praise God. Thus what the church was at Pentecost is the standard. So whatever the church was at Pentecost is the standard for that church through each church age. That's the standard. The Pentecostal is a standard. That is a pattern. That is, there's no other pattern. No matter what scholars say, God has not changed the pattern. What God did at Pentecost, he had to keep on doing till all the seven church ages are finished. So what the Lord did at Pentecost, he poured out the Holy Ghost. And they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. So many people's afraid of tongues, I don't understand why. It's a wonderful gift of God.
Amen.
And that early church spoke with other languages. Now we know it was languages, but tongue is a language as well. And it can be a language of men or of angels. Amen. And there's diverse tongues. So it means lots of different tongues. And I just think it's wonderful. And it's wonderful, you know, if you're somewhere and the next thing God lets you hear it all in English, but nobody's talking in English. And I've experienced that on more than one occasion, and it's wonderful. And I didn't say to myself I would do it, it just happened. That's what happens.
Amen.
And God can also get a man on the pulpit and he can start preaching the gospel in another language. It can happen. It has happened before. There's lots of times it's happened. They did it in the book of Acts, and I have known of men that it's happened with in more modern times. If God gave them the language they never learned. Look at that. Is it Gypsy Smith that couldn't even read? Maybe I'm not saying his name right, but you know the Gypsy fella, he couldn't read. And he got that Bible, and next thing he was reading. God done it for him.
Amen.
Never went one day to college or anything to learn, but God that made man can put it in man. Those scholars may tell us that the apostolic age is over. Don't believe it. Such a statement's wrong on two counts. First of all, it is wrong to suppose there aren't any more apostles just because the original 12 are dead. And I was studying about apostles a bit. I was very near going to preach on apostles. I got in trouble one time preaching on apostles. Not with anybody here, but I got in a bit of a trouble because some fella kept calling this man an apostle, and I said to him, he's not an apostle. He's no evidence about him to be an apostle. But I said, there's a man over there that is an apostle. And that was Brother Dixon. He was an apostle. He was an apostle because he started over 300 or 500 works by himself. An apostle is a missionary. And when you count the many apostles there are, outside of the 12, there's lots. There's lots of apostles. And prophets as well. And Agabus, we know, was one that was a prophet. So, an apostle means a sent one. And when God sends a man, that's a sent one's an apostle. Sent out of the Lord. And there are many sent ones today, missionaries. And as long as men are being called and sent forth with the Word of God, there's life. There's an apostolic age going on. Some people think the apostolic age ceased with the apostles. That's what they preach. And they preach dispensationalism. Now, I believe in dispensationalism, but some people take it a stage further and they say that dispensation stopped with the apostles and there's no more apostles. And we know that's false teaching because there is an apostolic age still going on. God is still pouring out the Holy Spirit. Now, here's another reason why. Secondly, to refer to the age of manifest and Holy Ghost power has been over since the Bible has been fully completed. That's another avenue people take. They say, we have the perfect canon of Scripture, therefore the age of the Holy Spirit's over. But how can a man come without the Holy Ghost? No man can come unto me except my Father draweth him. No man can know him save to him whom the Son will reveal him. That's the word of God. This is untrue. This is not even Scripture that suggests, but many conclusively state otherwise. Here's our proof. Now I want you to look at your proof. It's Acts 2:38 on 39. This is your proof of these charges, which are false, but people believe them. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, that's the Jews, to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Amen.
The promise of power with which the apostles were endued at Pentecost was to the Jews there, and to the children of them Jews, and also afar off the Gentiles. And I showed you the other week, or I tried to at least, for Peter wasn't going to go to the Gentiles. Peter wasn't, they were unclean, they were dogs. They said on Sunday night, the Lord called the woman a dog, because she's a Gentile, unclean. But the Holy Spirit brought a sheet down before Peter while he was praying, and he was in a trance, or a vision. And that sheet had all manner of unclean things on it. Peter said, I couldn't eat any of them. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Now there's also one for people that keep food laws, and they won't eat certain things. The Lord said to Peter, what I've cleansed, don't call common or unclean. And Paul says, if you pray over it, you can eat it. Amen. Now, certain things you wouldn't want to eat. You know, we know that. But if you were in a tight spot, you might have to. I know a couple of missionaries from Africa, and them boys blew. They actually crowed that they'd eat anything on the mission field. And one boy overheard them. And he cooked them up a couple of lizards. And they didn't want to eat them. And the other fellow said, if you don't eat them, you're two hypocrites. And because of what they'd said, they were forced to eat them. And they were sick as dogs. Well, I'm not eating the lizard. I'll stick to something else. But what God cleanses, we can't call common or unclean. And really, for myself, for any preacher, and if we do it, we're wrong. Anyone that's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ is a child of God. And we cannot call them rubbish or trash. If they're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, they are clean.
Amen.
They might belong to our group or our whatever. But they're still God's children.
Amen.
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 If they're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Glory.
So we see that God's still calling. And Gentiles, and to as many as the Lord shall call, both Jews and Gentiles, God will fill with the Holy Spirit and get the steam expelled. And still he stops calling, the Pentecostal message with power will not cease.
That's right.
The Pentecostal message. Now many people say we have moved beyond Pentecost, but yet in them seven church age books, you can read many times where the prophet to this end time points to Pentecost and says that's what it ought to be. The real Pentecostal message. Not an organization, but what they had at the beginning. The real Pentecostal blessing with signs and wonders. A tongue talking, yes, Holy Ghost filled church with gifts manifesting amongst her. Amen. What the church had at Pentecost in her and first origins, you know, when it first came, the original, she had the pure word of God. She had the power of the Spirit manifesting diverse signs and gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's what you had. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 1 to 4. Therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word of God spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience, meaning to the word of God, received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which is the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them A wonder is what it is. It's a wonder.
Amen.
It's an amazement that God could do it. That's a wonder.
Amen.
Signs and wonders with diverse miracles.
Glory.
And gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will.
Amen.
So when somebody over here says it can't be God, God says, well, I'll do it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Where God can find faith, God can move.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Faith moves God.
Amen.
You know, Wigglesworth made a statement that a lot of people are afraid to make, and I'm not saying everybody's not Wigglesworth. He was an apostle.
Yes.
He said, if God doesn't move, I'll move God. And people I heard, boys on and, you know, lecturing and saying, like, God was wrong, he said that. Well, he was able to make it work. So they were out of order making that statement because Wigglesworth could back up what he said.
Right.
Because he meant he had so much faith that he was going to see it happen when he went to raise that dead man. And the fellow was with him. And he was in the coffin. And Wigglesworth lifted him out six different times. And that corpse fell back into that coffin six times. And the man with him said, he's dead. And Wigglesworth said, shut up! Sharp as you like. I know what God's told me. And he lifted him the seventh time and he came alive.
Amen. Glory.
Just like he took a dead baby and he took his boot and he kicked it like a football into the audience. Somebody caught it and it screamed out and was living.
That's right.
That's the power of God.
Amen.
And he can't act that. But God can tell a man to do something that seems extreme.
Yes.
Marvels.
Amen.
Signs and wonders. That's definitely a wonder. There, what Wigglesworth saying. What about the man that he's standing with? And he had no feet, not even feet, just two stumps. And Wigglesworth said to him, God's going to give you 2 feet. Go down to the shoe shop tomorrow morning when it opens. And God will give you 2 feet. And that boy complained all night to God. And he said, imagine that man talking to me like that. And God rebuked him. God said, go and do what my servant told you. And the next morning the shop wasn't even open. He was at the door waiting to get in. And he got in and he asked the man for the shoes. And whatever size he wanted, if he wanted size 8, 9, 10, whatever size he wanted, what if he picked that shoe size and put them stumps in them, that's the size of feet he is getting. And the man says, not to be funny, sir, but you have no feet. He says, I never asked you for feet, I asked you for shoes.
Amen.
And he gave him down a pair of shoes and he put 2 stumps in and he grew a pair of shoes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll guarantee he danced all over the shop.
Amen.
It's like I always used to say years ago. And a fellow from Africa reminded me about it on Sunday. I must have preached it over there somewhere. When I asked God for the Holy Ghost, I never asked God for tongues. I asked him for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you see these shoes, when I went into the shop for these shoes, I never said, give me a pair of tongues. I said, give me a pair of shoes. But the tongues was in them.
Amen.
And there was 8 holes and the lace tied them all together. 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit you want to ask for. The tongues comes with it. You say, I've never spoken tongues yet. You know, a prophet of God said, if you lay before God long enough and desire it, He'll let you have it. Amen. If it'll help your faith, He says, He'll let you have it. Well, I wanted it and He let me have it. Glory to God.
Glory.
If you want it, He'll let you have it. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Maybe there's someone else you're wanting. If you ask Him for it, He can let you have it.
Amen.
Because if God can let you have tongues, He'll let you prophecy, He'll let you gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're really sincere and ask for it, you can have it. Praise God. You know who said that? It wasn't me. Thought that up about the tongues. It was an old preacher called Joseph Smith. And I heard him preach in the Edom church when I was only a young fella. And he was an old man then. And do you know what he said? The night I went to hear him preach, he said one of the greatest conversions he ever saw was Jack Watt. Jack Watt, related to ourselves. Isn't that his right name, Bobby? Jack Watt. He said that was one of the greatest conversions he ever had in any of his meetings. Was Jack Watt. And that amazed me, and I didn't even know then. I remember asking my dad, who's Jack Watt? And then he filled me in on the whole story. And I tell you, God's wonderful, isn't it? God moves in families. Don't let people condemn you. I hear a lot of talk, they're all family. But they were all family on that ark. They were all family that come out of Sodom. God moves in families. Now, not that He just moves in our family, but God can move in the Jones family, the Kinsley family, the Anderson family, the Scott family, the McDonald family, any other names. He can move on them. God will move in families. Hallelujah. And God will save families. Claim your family. Claim every one of them. Ye in your house shall be saved. You know, that Corinthian jailer, and you know, he was told if them fellas get free, you're dead, more or less. And that God shook the jail. I love the way Jack Coe preaches it. Jack Coe said that God shook that jail like an old shepherd up saying that just everything blew open. And them boys were free. They could walk out of the water. And there was that old jailer, and he drew out his own sword to kill himself. They were free. And they said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And he fell down before them. He recognized a wonder had happened. Amen. Something amazing had happened. Hallelujah. Amen. One miracle speaks louder than a thousand words. Glory to God. Amen. And that time he fell down, he said, search, what must I do to be saved? And they said, well, we'll get you a good group to join. None of that was mentioned. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye in your heart shall be saved. And he's baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The same are Acts 2:38. Hallelujah. Ye in your house, praise God. And surely we want to see your whole house converted. Converted by the power of God. We need the Holy Ghost to move. Hallelujah. They're all talking about Halloween. What about the Lord? Have no interest in pagan festival and mass wearing and rubbish talk and cutting out this and cutting out someone else and putting candles in it. Now look, there's nothing wrong with it, but I have no interest in it. Enjoyed every minute of it. Hallelujah! Praise God. How could you not? It was anointed. It was fresh. It was good. Praise God. Pentecostal. There's something different about a Pentecostal. You see, they're those that believe in the apostolic message of the bit of life with. Bit of a kick with it. Praise God. Boy, I've been a long time reading all these notes tonight. Praise God. Amen. In the Lord, good. You don't get led astray here. When I said that God and His ways never change, the church can change. You know, things can change. The age, the church. You know, God sent Paul, the first church. Then Columbus, Luther, Wesley. Right down to the last church age. But God remains the same. And Brother Branham said when he went to pick up the messenger, he looked for the Pentecostal blessing to pick up. He didn't look for some dead thing. He looked for the Pentecostal blessing. And that's how he said he picked him. And I kind of said, you know, you can read it in your church age book or study the history. It's in it as well. But you know, John Wesley, you know the asylums filled. Did you know that asylums filled when John Wesley was on the move? Because the devil tried to get people going as God was getting people going. There was two spirits moving. The Holy Spirit and the unholy spirit. The spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of Christ. Both at the same time. The church isn't God, so she can change. But what I said was that because of the unchanging God, with unchanging ways, we can go back to the beginning and see the first, a perfect act of God, and then judge by that standard of the first and perfect act of God. So what did God do in the first church? He poured the Holy Ghost on them. Amen. Well, that's what He'll have to do in each successive age. You think to hear some people there's some sort of an oil in this last age, it wasn't in any other age, that's even unscriptural. You know with them seven candlesticks? That they draw from the one bowl of oil. Amen. That the first one, the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, And you can't worship none of them as Jesus. And not a one of them men, if they stood in this room, would say, pray to me or worship me. They would all say, I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what they would say.
Amen.
Praise God for it. The church will always change.
Amen.
But praise God. We always want to try and get back to that original Pentecost. That's what we're trying to do. Back to the original Pentecost, the true church of the day. We're trying to approximate that the early first church. That's where we want to get back to that, be like that. Praise God. And the messengers to the church is having the same Spirit of God in them. And we'll try to approximate the Apostle Paul. They won't be exactly like him, but that's the man they're going to follow in the sense of his teachings, his preachings, his experience. Who wouldn't want to be the guy? Paul says, follow me, for I follow Christ. Now, he didn't say, preach me. There's a big difference here now. I want to get this nailed down here. Paul never said, preach Paul. A matter of fact, he says, I'm glad to baptize none of you. Because I hear you're baptizing in his name. And he says, you shouldn't be baptized in anybody's name but the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it's following Paul's one thing, but you're not to preach Paul. You're to preach the one Paul preached.
Glory.
Amen. There's a difference now. When you preach Paul, that's a cult. When you preach Paul, that's anti-word. But when you preach what Paul preached, you're preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't there some difference? But that's a sly old devil. And let's not forget this. The Lutherans had the truth, the Wesleyans had the truth, then they denominated, and they formed and they became so organized, God moved out of it. What about this end time? Do you think they're not organized around what's happened at Chartley the Well? The sex seems, men die, spirits never die. And the sex same things happen again. They want to worship pictures and worship the man, and they don't preach the real message that came. And that message is the original Pentecostal message. Not only is it the original Pentecostal message, that last church age messenger said that the Jews will receive the same Pentecostal message we received. Moses and Elijah is going to preach it to them good. The same message. And that's another thing some people don't believe either, but that's the Bible. Hallelujah. Praise God. The church today shall have to be the same. The messengers, the same. They won't be exactly like him, but the true messenger will be the ones that come closest to Paul, who was free of all men, sold out to God, and gave forth the word of God only. The original. Not ashamed to say I'm a Pentecostal by experience.
Amen.
Not ashamed to speak in tongues.
Amen.
Not ashamed to hear prophecies.
Amen.
And believe in praying for the sick that God can do it.
Glory.
Not ashamed of it. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. The Holy Ghost and power. That's what we need. None else would do. You have to work from the original. As like begets like. Amen? A dog will never breed you a cat. It'll breed you another dog.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
And when somebody's really born again, you've got someone real.
Amen.
Not some high-bred thing, but you're the real child of God. A real man and woman of God.
Right.
That wants the Word of God, that desires the Word of God, because they're born again. Amen. They're not a proselyte. They didn't sign their name in a book somewhere. Join up to the movement. Amen. They are the movement.
Amen.
You know, do you remember about the wee boy that came to see the Americans come over to see him over in Wales? Time of the Welsh Revival. And they came over, and you know how they called the police? Bobbies. I'm sorry, but Brother Bobby, but they called the policemen Bobbies. That was like a nickname. The police. And they said these Americans, these great dignitaries come over and they came to meet the Welsh Revival. They met this wee policeman that stepped up to them. They said, we're here to see the great Welsh Revival. He said, you found it.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory.
You just found it.
Amen.
Amen. He knew what he'd got. Praise God. He didn't turn them over to some building or some movement. He said, you found it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
He was a revival. Praise God. Every one of us needs fired up. Held up with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise God, you found it. I always like that. As like begets like. Follow the steps of our founder, Pentecost. and her messengers follow the Apostle Paul. Paul says, let no other man build on what's already been laid. Be careful how you build on what's been laid. For there's one true foundation. Who's the head of it? Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. This is the stone which was set in order of the builders. Now is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. She won't preach a man. It'll be the man Christ Jesus who preaches. Amen. We preach Christ crucified. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Pentecost. And her messengers will follow it. Pentecostal. It is simple, but yet wonderful. Praise God. You know, William Branham said, with this key, so simple yet so wonderful, I was able, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to read the book of Revelations and the histories and find therein each age, each messenger, the duration of the age, and the part each played in the purpose of God from Pentecost to the consummation of the age. And he says it continues, the Pentecostal continues right to the close of the seventh church age. Now I know some fellas have us raptured and all, but we're still here. Some other boys have us over in the millennium, but we're still here. And I believe the seventh church age is still running. This is Laodicea. I will do what I want, people's rights. Laodicea, yes. Lukewarm, having a form of godliness, denying the power of the law, from such turn away. Timothy tells us that it shall come in the last days, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They'll boast about their sin, throw it in your face, fly their flag, and the rainbow, and they'll have their gay marches in the middle of the streets, in the middle of the towns. And the politicians won't say one word against it. But how can a true Holy Ghost people begin it all right?
Amen.
God's again. God can save them, but they need to do a circle. They need to turn and repent.
Amen.
And come into Christ. Hallelujah. No effeminate, no unclean shall enter the kingdom of God. Amen. There needs to be repentance. Some of us were fornicators, Paul says. Some of us were adulterers, but now we're clean. Now we're pure because we're in Christ. We're in Christ. We're no longer fornicators or adulterers, we're washed.
Amen.
Washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Since you now understand it, praise God. Hallelujah. Revelations and also epistles become more and more visible, manifested. All the truths this end time and this age we live in to come to the pleat. There's going to be a blackout of truth. William Branham said, as God's messenger, there will be a blackout of truth. In the last Laodicean age, a blackout of truth. And we know in this age, people do not want the truth.
Right.
Amen? Now, we're not talking about the elect of God, the people that want it, but universally, there is a blackout of truth. People do not want truth.
Right.
And when you give them truth, I'll tell you what, you stroke the cat and she'll purr nicely, but once you rake her back one time, the wrong road, you get the claws out. And that's the truth, isn't it?
Right.
And people today they want truth. And there was some son of mine on something the other day, seen it, and he's now a Christian, he's now this, he's now that, but his life's never changed. He still indulges in the things he indulged in and claims to be in Christ. That's a false witness of Christ.
Yeah.
The Bible says you're born again. It says you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You're changed.
Amen.
People that know me from years ago will tell you I was an absolute lunatic. I had as many descriptions of me. But I'm saved tonight.
Amen.
I don't frequent the places I used to. I have no desire for it.
Amen.
There's a change.
Amen.
The question that arises in our minds, does God forsake his own and let all fall in the stain of deception? On no account. Do you know why? Matthew 24, let's read it. Matthew 24, the elect of God. Now I know a lot of people overrun this scripture. We're elect and everybody else is rejected. That's the truth. But there still is an elect. Amen. There still is an elect. For where there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show signs and wonders, and so much of it were possible, they shall receive the very elect. But it's not possible. Because the Spirit of God is in God's people. It's not that you know more or somebody else, but the Spirit of God's in you. The anointing which you have received will teach you all things. Lead you into all error. No. Truth.
Amen.
Into all truth. And bring you out of error.
Right.
Into the truth. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Him who the Son sets free
is
free indeed.
Amen.
What then? The answer is clear before us. There's a true church and a false church. There's a true vine and a false vine. But of course, that false church, false body, false vine will always try to usurp the position of the true church and contend that she is and not the elect. The elect's a real authentic thing. There's a real authentic church, a real church. There has to be. Amen. The false will try to kill the true, but they won't pat you in the back. Oh, no way. It's never happening. Amen. They're against the truth and against the true church. That is how it was in the book of Acts. That is how it is set forth in seven church ages. That is how it is declared in the various epistles. That is how it has been. That is how it is now. That is how it will be. And it can't change. Do you know why it can't change? Because somebody sold. There was two sowings. Went forth. And that's natural and spiritual. And that's still going on. You know that Satan is called the God of this evil age. And you know Satan always wanted to be like God. Right from the beginning. He came down in the garden. Thou hast been amongst the currybuckles. Thou hast been in the garden of God. Ezekiel warns us of him and tells us. Thou hast been in the garden of God. He wanted to be like God. He tried to produce a super race. And God put the blockage in. Then he failed in that. Then when Moses came forth, he tried to get him a proper child. He tried to do away with him. And he persecuted God's people. And he tried to seek out that one man, which was a prophet, and tried to kill him. And his mother put him right down through all them crocodile-infested waters in a little basket right in to the enemy's camp. Hallelujah. Now that, for us, we can't comprehend that, God tell him. Then you come right up on up to Joseph. Same thing. Right on through the whole Bible, right up to Jesus Christ and Judas Iscariot. There was four crosses. Judas hung on one as well. Amen. He hung himself on a tree. And that blood spilled there. And they talk about the blood, the field of blood. Right on up. The devil never gave up even there either. Then you had Hitler. And Hitler tried to do the same thing the serpent did. Hitler tried to produce a super race. And he actually tried to put people together to produce that super race. Your hair had to be a certain color, your eyes at a certain height and everything. He did it. And he finished and he died a mysterious death. And it runs right on down. Don't kid ourselves tonight. There's something going on in this world today. Something is happening. There's a battle going on. There's a warfare going on. And we need to be closer to the Lord forever. I'm going to have to come to close. My time's gone. I want us time for to pray. Praise God. But I tell you, aren't you glad you're in the Lord tonight?
Amen.
The Lord's on your side. Amen. And you've got the truth.
Yeah.
And may the Lord help every one of us to press on. Pray in. Pray for the services. Brother Ian will preach on Sunday morning. Pray for the meetings. Pray for our Brother John. I know he's here on Sunday. I'm not sure. Maybe he's still not feeling too well. He hasn't been too well for a while. And Samuel as well. A lot better. But pray as well for Samuel and the whole family for a full recovery. And for Big John for a full recovery. And any other brethren that need a real touch from God. Let's pray in the night. That God will really have his way. Pray for wee brother Laurie as well. Laurie, that the Lord's brought him here. He wants to come here and wants to be part of the fellowship. And we are certainly happy for that. And pray also for brother Geordie Jackson over in England. He's missing it all here. And he's lost some sort of a key and he wants prayer that he finds this, whatever key it is, for the house or something. Geordie's lost the key. And let's pray Geordie will find that key, what he needs. And who knows, God might bring him back here. mightn't let him stay over there. Amen. But either way, it's just wanting the will of God. Amen. Let's come before the Lord tonight. And if you have a request, just lift your hand up before the Lord as well. God bless. God bless. God bless. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that your ear is ever open to our cry. We thank you that we have open access from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we come this evening pleading the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank you that your blood shall never lose its power.
Amen.
Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Lord, we know that you have eagles everywhere.
Amen.
All over, Lord, there's eagles everywhere. And you're gathering your people together. And one of these days, there's going to be a rapture catching away take place. And we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Father, we praise you this evening. We thank you for an expectation within each one of us that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Lord, I pray for my Uncle John tonight to bless him and strengthen him. Lord, bless his wife and save her. Bless all of his children and save him and his grandchildren. Save every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Pray and bless Samuel and his wife and children and touch them, Lord. Every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask for others tonight that's maybe sick that haven't been mentioned. May you touch them and heal them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask for the hands raised in this room this evening. May the Holy Spirit go to that need and meet that need in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, bless your brother Ian as he prepares for Sunday morning. May the Holy Spirit visit him and speak with him. Give him a word from heaven, a word in season. And Father, we thank you for wee brother Laurie. I pray you'll continue to bless him, strengthen him. Pray for Jordy and his wife as well, Winifred, to bless them. Help them get that lost key. And help them in your perfect will in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless the meetings for your glory. Touch your people, Lord. Overlook our failures and our mistakes and cleanse us and wash us in your blood and help us to keep on keeping on. Give us a spirit of stickability in this evil age and fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost and fire. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.